Okay, you guys, today I have one of my dearest and oldest kids yoga friends. Do you call yourself the godmother of modern kids yoga, the fairy godmother of kids yoga? Do you title yourself, Jode?
I don't, but when I that's a great question, because when I think of the godmothers, I actually think of like Marsha Wenig and yeah. Dr. Clark Khalsa, right? So some of them. So I would say maybe I'm a mother.
An auntie, auntie. You're just one of the elders, like you're the wise elder who has been doing this work for so long, and your business and company, Next Generation Yoga, which we're going to dive into all of that today, the ebbs and flows and evolutions. But I invited Jode, this is Jode Commoner, and I invited her on to chat because Jode and I don't think we've ever had like a shallow conversation. We don't know how. So when we see each other, we just like go right for it. How are you? Well, here's what I'm dealing with. What are you dealing with? And that energy is what this podcast is all about, is having honest conversations about a real ass life, is what I would say. The stuff that's really going on and what is going on behind the scenes and what kind of work we have to do and we want to do. It's not have to, it's like so delicious. And so Jode is, to me, one of these amazing women who shares herself so beautifully and openly and honestly and really goes through the process with all of her friends and family and support. So thank you, Jode, for everything that you've done and do in the world.
Thank you, Pleasance. I so appreciate that introduction and acknowledgement. Like, right back at you, sister.
So tell us a little bit about where you are now and in terms of the work that you're doing and how it connects to what you've been doing and where you think you're going. So as much as you want to share within that world, which I know it's a lot, so.
Yeah, 21 years worth.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I'm currently living in the Bay Area in Oakland, and I am the CEO of Next Generation Yoga and the founder of a 21-year-old kids and family yoga company that I started on the East Coast in New York City out of my apartment. It's great to know that I've actually consistently been able to work from my apartment for 21 years. And so for 21 years, I've done everything from teaching 25 kids and family yoga classes a week to leading a Next Generation Yoga teacher training every month in a different city, so traveling a ton, to managing our Next Generation Yoga teacher trainers, to developing curriculum and having licensees. So we have Next Generation Yoga teachers around the world as well. And I've done videos and been on TV. So I've done a lot in the kids yoga world. Often like to like pat myself on the back saying like, I've actually done, I mean, I'm like, what else am I missing? You know, what didn't I hit? And, so it's been a wonderful, amazing, blessed journey that I've really actually just truly just followed my heart and like attuned to the community of like, what do they want? What's next? And so I have zero background in business and marketing. I mean, when I started NGY 21 years, I was, you know, former special education teacher in New York City public school system. So like, just really like listen to what was my passion. And that's definitely been a thread that I've followed over the years. And, you know, to sort of make it a shorter version of the story, I'd say about 6 years ago, I was attuning to our kids yoga community and listening to their need and desire and want for support in the business side of things. And I remember I was like at a business workshop in San Francisco. And I remember it was like right around tax season. And I was like looking at my tax return. Like I just got my numbers on my iPhone. And I was like, oh, I'm actually, I've been making six figures for like almost the last 10 years at this time. And I was like, I think I have something to teach other people.
Yeah.
So from, right. I was like, from there, yes. I was like listening to what does our community want and need? Like they were asking me for it. And so, and then I realized I got like clear. I'm like, oh, I have something actually, I really should follow this. And so, about 6 years ago, I developed this micro niche called the Biz of Kids Yoga. And it's, you know, it's an arm of Next Generation Yoga because mm-hmm. a lot of our community just funnels into the Biz of Kids Yoga world. And basically it's a community of committed kids yoga entrepreneurs who are really dedicated to the business side mm-hmm. of things.
Yeah.
They definitely love teaching, but they also recognize, they're like, actually, I want to make a living doing
it. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Totally. So they just have this, like, their eyes are open to, like, actually, mm-hmm. like, I want to teach, but, like, I also know that there's other things here. Like, I need to pay attention to my finances. I need to actually be visible. I need to actually get support. And so I've been doing, like I said, for the past 6 years, private mentorship / coaching, however mm-hmm. you choose to see that.
Mentoring, coaching, facilitating, consulting, guiding, all these words.
It's so good. And then, yeah, so then I offer a group live course that I teach. Then I've written some ebooks. And yeah, so fast forward, right, 21 years later, you know, creating this, how do you call it, an empire of kids yoga with Next Generation Yoga, plus doing more of the mentorship, you know, here we are, it's 2018, we're all, as you know, present, and I'm sure many of the listeners get, like, we're all just waking up to, like, really our truest passion and purpose, and you know, no longer allowing for things that are like, that aren't in our highest to exist in our life. And sometimes that's really hard to look at and to, mm-hmm. To listen to. And so, I've been listening, mm-hmm. I've chosen to listen. It wasn't always easy, but I got this, like, I got the like tap on the shoulder. Like, I think it's time for something new. Mm-hmm. I think it's time to turn the page of the kids yoga book. And so just, you know, several weeks ago, about three, I think it was, I made this grand announcement that I was putting Next Generation Yoga up for sale. And that I'm looking for a new leader / leaders to take this company that I have brought to like this amazing place, but to take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I am. And I think you were also curious about what's next. And I actually, you know, that's like the quick answer. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's such a hard, you know, question or answer yes. for people to hear, because people want to know. It's like you get, you know, yeah. you get engaged, you're like, when are you getting married? Or, you know, you write a book and you're like, when's the next book coming out? It's like, truthfully, like, I'm just stepping into the mystery of life right now and saying the I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that's super annoying that I just did to you, that people did to me when I decided to close the studio was, you know, I would say sort of very similar to what you said. I did this thing, I totally loved it, and I'm feeling a desire to do something else in it for a number of reasons, you know, a number of ways, because of just a whole bunch of things. And I really was in the presence of that and feeling it and moving through it. And everybody kept saying, we can't wait to see what you do next. Yeah. What's next? Yeah. What's next? And that felt suffocating. It felt overwhelming. It felt like I'm still in this transition. Yeah. And I was in a big grieving process of this thing that I love. I felt confused, and I really wanted to hold both at once. I love Little Ohm. I love this studio. I love these families, period. I want something else. I'm moving in a new direction. This feels awesome. Mm-hmm. And like doing both at once is just so something, feeling both at once is something our culture and our society, like we don't usually talk about and wrap our heads around. So yeah. When people kept asking me what was next, oh, I would get frustrated. So I'm sorry that I did that to you and put that in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, like that's the thing. It's like, it's so human to do that because we do want to know, because there's also love and care in there, you know, and there's like that thing mm-hmm. is like, whatever you do next is going to be amazing. But I love your naming of like, I'm actually in both right now.
Yes.
And one of the things I felt is like, and I love that you're, you know, mentioned grief because that's very real as well. But like, one of the things that I noticed was coming up for me is as I was receiving all the emails, texts, Facebook messages, mm-hmm. but all the things of people mm-hmm. responding, which was, I know in their heart, so full of love and good intention. At the same time, I noticed, I was like, wow, it feels like there's this part of me that they see is dying. And I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, I guess that's true. There is this part of me that I'm putting, you know, mm-hmm. to rest. Mm-hmm. And I've actually never name mm-hmm. that so clearly, but it's like, I'm like, but I'm still here. Like mm-hmm. I'm very much like dedicated and committed to Next Generation Yoga and like not going anywhere until, you know, I have gracefully transitioned the organization into someone else's hands. So it was like that part mm-hmm. of like, I'm here, I'm doing both.
Yeah. Yes.
Please see that.
Well, and people, here was the other thing that was really interesting. I don't know if you felt this or seen this yet either, is that people would say, oh, are you okay? You know, they would be like worried about me. And one of the things that I would say, or that I really did feel, was that this was my practice evolving. You want to talk about yoga showing up in your life, or mindfulness, or awareness, or spiritual evolution. It was this, it was letting go. It was the ultimate letting go, and exactly where you are, of something successful. Something mm-hmm. that's working, something that's multiple six figures, something yeah. that quote unquote everybody else wants. And yeah. yet this decision to move away from something successful, people were really put a lot of that onto me. Are you okay? Do you want me to help you with this? You know, and I would look at them and sort of hold their hands and say, and like with tears, and I would be like, I am good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not afraid, you know?
Yeah. I mean, all of that, somebody asked me if like my health was okay. And I'm yeah. like, yeah. Yeah. Like this is like your thing. Like this is yoga. Yeah. This is like the evolution of yeah. the personal growth that like yes. people like you and myself are just not willing to accept the mm-hmm. like the ordinary, right?
Oh, no. I always say, I wish I could be a muggle, right? Like I'm not. And I'm not going to ever, nor have I ever been someone who cannot ask the big questions, not go to the hard places, not keep changing, growing, evolving. Like I'm not going to be the person who, you know, has a 9-to-5 and vegges out on Netflix every day. There's absolutely positively nothing wrong with it. And there are times in my life when I wish I could be like that. Because this doing the work over and over, like I don't have my numb out strategies are journaling. Like that's not numbing out. Like
awesome.
More. And sometimes I'm like, I wish I could just be a compulsive shopper, like something normal.
Give me something, right?
Stop asking the big questions in life. Yeah. So intense.
Once you wake up, there's no going back to sleep.
There's no going back. So I want to dig into this process a little bit. When did you know? I'm so curious about timeline, because I think this is another area where people don't necessarily see all the behind the scenes. Like I wrote about in my book that it was probably 18 months before I actually closed Little Om or made the decision, where the hit, the tap on the shoulder, the hit, the wave, the divine intuition said, close the studio. But it was 18 months later when all these little actions. So tell me a little bit about the process of evolving and changing and transforming and what that looked like for you, how you nurtured it.
My goodness. It's fun. It's scary because I think for actually a long time, the voice was there, but I wouldn't listen.
Yes.
I mean, I remember it was like creeping up and I'd be like, go away. Like,
yes.
I mean, this was probably a couple of years ago. And for many, years, like probably, you know, like 3 years ago, like when I heard this thought, and I actually like remember, like, you know, my dad has been such a confidant to me and such a, you know, a mentor, and he's been there from the very beginning. I remember walking with him around on Thanksgiving in Portland and letting him know, like, I had this thought that, you know, like it was like the first time I actually voiced it. And I'll tell you what, I could not even voice it without crying. Cause like this is all I've done with my life. So it was like, what else could I do? And I just spiraled down this low self-esteem place of like, I don't have any other skill set. Like, I don't think I could do anything else. And then, you know, ultimately, and probably like in the last year and a half, I really seemed like, you know, I've like really like actually got empowered about, was like, wow, actually like change is good. And, you know, and I was able to start talking about it from a more empowered place. Of course, you know, talking about it like with my business coach or my family. And then, you know, probably within like, you know, the last year or so, like I've just really been way more comfortable with it and, you know, had some more excitement around it and like the possibilities of like, what is that? Even I have no idea what they are. Just like, you know, sort of playing around it. So, I mean, that's been a really interesting thing of going from like the real darkness to seeing like the possibility.
Well, and I also know in my process is that I listen to, because I think sort of, and I might be the same for you, it might be different, but in terms of law of attraction is that once that hit comes, then I start to attract, whether it's conscious or subconscious, stories of other women who did that. That was what I started reading and seeing everywhere was, oh, this woman evolved and this woman changed. And look at the yoga industry in general for studio-based, you know, that I went to a mind-body conference and, oh man, studios were in crisis. And I looked around the room and thought, why am I here? Like, these are not my people anymore. I'm not, you know, so sort of it was one by one. And I was reading this book. I write about it in like the first part of my book. Is Christine Carter from Berkeley, from the Wellbeing Center there, wrote about in the first chapter of her book, getting really sick and having to be hospitalized and loving it and being like, I'm so happy to rest, and being so sad because she was a doctor of like a researcher for wellness and well-being. And ran a whole center. She loved her work, but she was exhausted. And she had put everyone else first. And so going to the hospital was this wake-up moment when she was honest with herself and said, this is amazing. She realized, whoa, something is wrong. Something's not right here. And when I read that, Jodi, I started hysterical crying. Because when I heard her say she was in the hospital, I had I want that too. Like, this is the only way out.
Yeah.
And those are those little hits. And that was 18 months before I pulled the trigger. So like I say that it can take time, but the listening for the tears, like how you said you were crying when you were walking and talking to your family about it. That was the same thing. Mel and I were standing in the kitchen and he said, Plez, I think you should close the studio. Look at you. And I was like, no, I cannot. I mean, I like full rage at him. Mm-hmm. And I was just, then later I said, oh, that might've been an opportunity to listen.
I love also like what you said about like, you know, hearing Christine Carter's story and saying, I want that, you know, like those, I feel like the subtle signs of intuition, like when we see someone else, like I definitely got this, even with you, Pleasance, by the way, like you're one of those people who I've witnessed transform and I'm like, I want that, you know? And so it's like those, like when we see, and I remember there's another like off the topic conversation, but I remember like when I was in a relationship with someone and I was like hearing about other people like getting out of this relationship that they were in. And I was like, I want that. And so it's kind of like, those are like subtle. I feel like when we hear ourselves saying like, I want that for myself, like that's like, you know, grace nudging and saying, you know, hey, you can have that too.
Totally. And listening for it and looking at it as a good part of like evolving rather than fear. And I think that is a very practical way. You know, people always say like live from love, not fear. That's a practical way to do it, is to listen and trust and love yourself enough to trust yourself. Like, look at this, look at what I can do. Look at what I have done. And how do I bring those skills into the next version? Which I think is just so much fun. It's so much, and it's exactly what you were talking about when you said you didn't consider yourself a business coach until you realized you'd had this very successful business for a long time, and then thought, why is everyone in the yoga world in scarcity mindset? Let me help them.
Yeah.
You know, and really, and that alone, I mean, that branch of your business, I know so many people who've been in that cohort with you, and every time I hear what you teach, I did some of that work with you. Now that I remember, I think I had just had a baby or was about to, my dog's barking. Is that I remember laying in bed and going through those modules. So I must've been really pregnant or had a newborn. But I feel like it's such an important, and in the work that you were doing with the yoga community, especially the kids yoga community, around business is huge. Do you feel inspired to do more of that business coaching work, do you think? Like, when you think about what really lights you up these days, do you know where you, what you're interested in, like, learning and teaching? What are you studying?
Yeah, so I definitely, I mean, a lot interests me. In terms of, like, people have asked me, like, will I continue on with coaching with you know, the Biz of Kids Yoga? And so, like, here we are, it's September, what is it, 13th, and, like, right now, everything is business as usual. Like, I'm still taking on new clients. I'm still CEOing Next Generation Yoga. Like, nothing has changed, right? Because nothing has changed. And so I am so in love with the mentorship that I get to do with people, with kids yoga teachers specifically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I'm real, I never went to coaching school. Like, I've done a, you know, a ton of my own, I've been coached my like whole career. I've, you know, done a ton of personal and professional growth work. And at the same time, you know, I feel like people just say to me, like, you're so naturally gifted at what you do. And so, I do love it. And I'm just going to like say it like this, like, I don't know. I honestly don't know where I'm going to be for a year from now. And truthfully, what I do know is that, I just need to clear a little space.
Of course.
So that I can, you know, I mean, just to get clear on what is the next thing. So I don't know.
There's no way. I'll say too, is that when I was in that don't know, I needed things to settle phase, is that what ended up happening over the past 2.5 years, almost 3 years now, because I closed the studio at the end of 2015, I guess. Is that my deep, profound love story with Ayurveda started when I closed the studio. I finally had time and a maturity and an openness to really understand the teachings and to study them in ways I hadn't before and to integrate in ways that I didn't before. And next year I'm going to Ayurveda school for the year just for passion and interest, just for inquiry, not because I want to start a clinical practice, not because I want to, not for any reason other than, oh, it just resonates. It vibrates. It's like, yes, yes, yes. And I would not have known that, you know, those weeks when I was closing or making the decision, it took almost this 3 years to really say what's the deeper level of, learning and teaching and studying, because you and I we're lifelong learners and we're always going to be into things and learning and studying. And so I think, that space and not knowing is really normal.
Thank you. I so appreciate that.
So normal. What do you do? What is your personal like self-care and soul care routines and practices like?
Thank you. Yeah. So to me, self-care is like a way of being. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do have like the obvious ones. Like I have a morning practice, you know, mm-hmm. where I sit in meditation, I sip my tea and look out the window in silence. And then I roll around on my mat. And so like I have things that I do. But really like, I mean, and then there's like, you know, the way of being, there's the lifestyle of like, clean food, drink, you know, is like mm-hmm. organic food. I eat a really healthy, mindful diet. I bless mm-hmm. my food for each meal. I go away, you know, I'll just go to the hot springs for 24, 48 hours. So like I do, I feel like I take really good care of myself. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, including good sleep and mm-hmm. like, then it's like, you know, who are my relationships, you know, like mm-hmm. I'm so discerning with who I'll spend time with. And to me, that's really good self-care and just having really good communication, with the people in my world. You know, I just, I'm saying this, I don't think my parents are going to be listening to this podcast. I know, right? But, you know, I just, so I have this thing, and this may, you know, erupt a little bit in some of the listeners, but I recently, the last couple of years, woke up to, like, the holiday of Thanksgiving and you know, what, it, like, the truth about, you know, what it is. And so not to get a complete topic here, but no. I, in San Francisco, went to a sunrise ceremony for the indigenous people, and Michael Franti was there, Naco Medicine people there. And it was like one mm-hmm. of the most amazing days. I mean, it started like you take the ferry over to Alcatraz and then, you know, they have the sunrise ceremony and they're chanting and they're dancing and it's this mm-hmm. prayer and it's gorgeous. And I realized, you know, in learning about like, what's the truth about this holiday, which is really, you know, a massacre of the indigenous people, is like, I'm like, I just really feel strongly about celebrating that day. You know, if I could be in the Bay Area like that and doing that. And so mm-hmm. I took a stand, right? And to me, this is my self-care of like, I'm going to be with my family for the week before Thanksgiving. And then, because my niece is on my foot, and then I'm going to come back to the Bay Area and do what's really in alignment for me mm-hmm. and my values. And so mm-hmm. that was like a big stand. But so there's that, but things like that of like mm-hmm. really and attuning and following my heart every as much as I can every moment and speaking the truth in the moment. Yeah, I feel like I said, self-care is like, I mean, yes, it's going to get a massage and going for walks every day and, you know, eating well and getting good sleep, but it's also just like this way of being. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
But that's the part that I love that really is Ayurveda. Like it's the original self-care, right? Because it is yeah. lifestyle and yeah. it includes all, like I always like put my hand, like visually like put my hand out and the fingers are all the radiating limbs and ways that they connect because it is all connected. Your boundaries, how you care for yourself. If like, this is what being in alignment really is. And this is what being like having boundaries. And these are things that women, I mean, you know, like I know so few women who have good boundaries. I know so few women who express anger in a healthy way. And I'm not saying like, I'm doing it perfectly and blah, blah, blah. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. I'm saying I'm super fascinated about that. Like, oh, we live in this society where all of so many of our familial models don't have these boundaries, don't have healthy ways of expressing the full range of emotion. And then this is perpetuating. So if we're going to be the ones to study and learn and then be the models, then we're making choices like you are for your family and Thanksgiving. And it's sort of not the norm in society. And then we have to be able to sit and be with ourselves when we're making those choices that other people don't necessarily understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a lot of women that you're surrounded with in California who are similar? Do you have soul support at that level? Because DC, I definitely don't feel that way.
Yeah, I definitely live in like a bubble of like consciousness. And like I give thanks for it all the time because when I do leave the Bay Area and I go out into the world and I see like, you know, other ways of doing life, I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so blessed and so grateful to be surrounded by the high vibration, like of sisters and brothers, like the community here is really, it's special. I mean, of course, like, you know, we can all be, you know, very human as well, but, you know, I do, and I am super, like I said, discerning with, you know, I don't need, you know, 100 girlfriends. I need like, you know, 5 that are like my sisters and who I know we've got each other.
Mm-hmm. Is that one of the reasons you left New York? Why'd you leave New York?
Yeah. So, actually this is something else we have in common is that, so I had 2 Next Generation Yoga studios in New York City. And I remember when I turned 30, I had these studios open and I was like, I need something that's going to rock my world, right? Like something that's just going to, you know, give me a little like shake. And so I went to Africa and I visited 3 countries in Africa for about 3 weeks. And I had done yoga with kids there, like very spontaneously and organically. And I realized on that trip that my mission was bigger than just than a brick and mortar, than yoga studios. And so when I had returned back from Africa, I, you know, also got that little tap on the shoulder and said, it's time to close the studios and do something different and bigger. And so, yeah, so it was, that was, I think it was about like just like an 7 or 8 months timeline about when I closed the studios. And then I also got the same hit. I was like, I want to go and live somewhere else. Like I was pretty complete with the concrete jungle of Manhattan. And, you know, basically I'd only lived in New Jersey as a kid and New York City as a, you know, young adult. And I was just really wanting some new life. And I was like, I don't want to live on the beach. And I was like, I don't want to live in Florida. What other beach is there? And so, yeah, I had driven the coastline from San Diego to San Francisco to sort of see where I wanted to land. And about 6 months after I closed the yoga studios, I moved to San Diego and I lived right on the beach and it was lovely. And it was, you know, again, it was like a transition of the business model going from studio to more outreach. And, was just, I landed in like, you know, the land of yoga in Encinitas, California, which is like the most yoga studios per capita. I didn't really know that at the time, but it was lovely. And so I lived there for 6 years. And then about 5.5 years ago, I moved up to the Bay Area.
Do you feel a call to leave there, or you still feel really at home in the Bay Area?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love the Bay Area. I love California. When I think about any other place, I'm like, where would I live? And people, you know, have also asked that question. I'm like, are you going to leave California? And like, to me, like I, with Next Generation Yoga, one of the greatest things about the company is like, you could run it from anywhere. Like literally I run it from like overseas, you know, New York, California. So, I don't know that me selling the company has anything to do with where I'll move. I think that that's like a separate conversation. Again, I think will likely become clear for me once I have a little space to really choose. Yeah.
I was just curious if you're like, I'm feeling a desire to move to Bali or, you know.
I mean, you never know, right?
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. Maybe.
I hear good things about Minneapolis. And because my, you know, Mel's in real estate, so like we're never leaving DC. Like it's just how it is. And I've always known that like anyone who doesn't have that kind of tie, I'm always like, where might you go next? Because it's so like dreamy to me. to I'm just like that's the opposite of my experience.
Yeah. or location that or option. Location independence is definitely a gift that I have. You know, again, I didn't have any education on it. Like no one said to me, like, this is how you built a business. And that's why I'm so passionate about helping other people.
I know.
I mean, listen, hey, if I could do it, anybody could do it.
Girl, that's what I say all the time. I taught kindergarten. My degree is in education, K-6. Yes. Yeah. If I can figure it out, I am not like, it is that Buddhist teaching. We are not so special. Like, you know, it really is.
Exactly.
Okay, so to wrap up, I just want to hear sort of your final wisdom and thoughts around someone listening to this. They are going through in their own life some decision making, and they're feeling stuck or they're feeling scared. What would you say to them? How would you help them?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. Well, first off, I would say, like, the fear is normal. Like, you can't, like, for a moment, I would never say that I'm not scared doing mm-hmm. what I'm doing right mm-hmm. now. Like, that's just, like, the human experience. And I would say, like, welcome the fear. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, she's invited. He's invited to come along for the ride. You know, and then it's, of course, like, does the fear stop you? And, of course, that's not the goal. So yeah, like, let fear come on board. Like, totally welcome for the experience and recognize fear and, like, lean into the fear and feel the fear. And I would also say, like, you don't have to do this alone. And mm-hmm. that's, you know, I'm sure you feel similarly, you know, as a mentor of, like, mm-hmm. aligning yourself with other people who get you, who understand, and who can really support you through the process. I mean, it is so important to have mentors, coaches, family, emotional mm-hmm. support, strategy support, you know, people who can help you with, like, the tasks that you need to do to get through. So, like, making sure, like, you've got your tribe. And mm-hmm. you know, especially, you know, a mentor coach, someone who's mm-hmm. going to guide you through the process. Let me see if there's anything else. And then I would just probably say, like, listen, you know, I mean, like I said, like, I had years of, like, I don't want to hear that thing, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like when Mel said she closed you down, you went, mm-hmm. you know, enraged. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, take your time in listening and trusting the path of life that, you know, ultimately you're not going to be able to ignore that voice anymore because of this very potent time that we're all living in right now. It's like, we're all being called to step up and step mm-hmm. into our greatest purpose and how we could serve. And so I would just say, like, trust the process, trust mm-hmm. life has you. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for doing your work and sharing it and being brave and being such a wonderful leader and mentor. And I just think right now I have the chills because I'm just sitting here. I'm looking out this window and I'm thinking about, Jody, the thousands and thousands and thousands of children and families who have been impacted by your work. Mm. Like, your ripple is so beyond. I mean, you wrote the essential guide. What is the series? The Complete Idiot's Guide?
Yeah, the Complete right? Idiot's Guide to Yoga with Kids.
Like, that book, Joan, I had, like, highlighted and turned over when I was a classroom teacher. Like, I gotta figure this out. And
you're gonna make me cry.
I mean, because I really want you to hear that. I want you to know it. I want you to feel it, that our evolving, our shifting and changing does not take away the profound impact that we've had and that you have had on families and introducing people to yoga in a playful, fun, meaningful, healthy way. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being you and showing up.
Thank you so much. Those words really, you know, land. It's very easy to, like, you know, spiral down the vortex of, like, you know, now I'm done, you know, career's done.
Yep.
Like, just to remember that, like, what I have done and the lives I have touched, it continues yes. on. And so yes. thank you so much.
And it's really important for us to celebrate the experiences and the work that we've done and put out in the world and remember and honor that. I think it's super important. So thank you for everything. I hope I get to see you in real life soon. Big hugs and kisses. Love you. And keep us updated on your journey. Okay.
Absolutely. Pleasure. Thank you so much for having
Thanks,
me. Love
Joan.
You.
Okay. Love yeah. you. Bye.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.